Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:50 Central African time, and at that time of the morning, where we join Ahmed Parak, our counselor Ahmed Parak. And Ahmed, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alan and salam to all our radio listeners this morning, Shafat. When I went out there this morning, the sun is shining and such a beautiful day. Allah has blessed us. The, you know, the weather, you when you come to Durban, people come here, they say your weather is out of this world. And they're 100% right when it comes to that, Shafat. Our weather is in this, mainly in the June, July, right up to August, our weather is beautiful, Shafat.
Yeah, I tell you, it's absolutely brilliant indeed. What a beautiful coastline they have. When last did you have a dip in the Indian Ocean, Ahmed?
Shafat, I see from my balcony, I see the Indian Ocean all the every morning I see it before I even go to work, Shafat.
Well, you see it. I walk on our beach. Yeah, my, you know, whenever I get the time, I'll walk from river mouth right to Runyon, you know, right to the rocks there. And I get back and I marvel. I say, what a beautiful place. What a Jannah on earth is Spingo Beach is. Alhamdulillah. I wouldn't leave Spingo Beach for anything. I'm a beach boy through and through. But looking at talking about through and through, one day we know we have to leave. We have to leave the dunya. But talk to me about Kafan Dafan. What's the latest, Ahmed?
I had a call early part of this morning. It was around just after 12 sometime, Shafat. A message, actually, not a call, a message that a brother passed away near the airport this morning, Hafiz Akuji. And I think the body will be in stand because that area, depending where the accident took place, either it can come to Phoenix Mochri or it'll go to Sanger. So we will know this morning, but they haven't contacted me yet because I think the body is already at the morgue. Hopefully, inshallah, the post-mortem will be done sometime this morning, Shabbat.
Yes, Ahmed. You know, I got a message on the screen here. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Shaf, please ask Ahmed Parak, why doesn't he come and do motivational talks at schools and talk about Kafan Dafan? Because most of the schools will get a reality shock and there will be no more violence once they get to know that death is a reality. Ahmed, he wants to make you the undertaker.
Shafar, if there's, in fact, although I'm a counselor now, I don't, you know, I only advise in the Dafan Kafan work. I'm no more in that. I'm involved with the, most of the burial society in the country. When they need my assistance, when they need postmortems to be done, I still sort that out. If they need any legal side of it, I still do that. And occasionally, people do still call me to come and give talks, and some of them tell me to, you know, set up a ghusl class. So I put it together with the burial society. I said, whether it's in Phoenix or wherever they need, I said, there's a brother here, he needs to be the ghusl classes. He's got 8 or 10 people. He wants to do a ghusl class. So we set it up. So, and they want, then sometimes I get invited also there to just tell them the legality of when they're doing post-mortem, what it entails, how it's been done, why is the delay, all these things. And I still give talks on that. So if the school, whoever this brother needs, yeah, you know, you can come to us and you can get the number either from you or from me after the show. And we can always make a plan and you'll get there one day and we can come and give them the school the talk. And you know, it's reality. You have to face reality. And if they want to know anything, and, you know, especially among this learners at the moment, especially the high school and all, suicide is very, very, is top of the agenda nowadays because of, you know, the students can't take the heat anymore. The parents cannot take the heat anymore. It's not like the old generation, you know, they had full tawakkul Allah and nothing else but Allah. So, you know, so they need to, and the ulamas need to, in fact, Darul Ihsan has got a very nice pamphlet out on suicide, what happened and everything else. You know, they distribute it around metric time as well, just before metric and all that. But they're not, the ulamas are not talking about the reality of death at the moment. And in fact, we have already published a book regarding death as well. So in fact, anybody needs my assistance. I'm ever ready to do anything wherever the work of Deen is taking place of us.
You know, I can give you full marks for that, and Allah bless you for that. You know, you remember when we were at school and we went for excursions, it was at Durban Harbour, it was a museum, or we went to the sugar terminal or mini town. Now they should take children, yeah, school kids, to the graveyard for excursion. What do you think of that, Ahmad?
There's nothing wrong there. In fact, the Orion old boys, they have once a year, they have a cemetery, Kabristan or cemetery cleanup session on a Saturday morning. We give them spade, we give them forks, we give them wheelbarrow, we give them bin bag, and all. They can clean the cupboards and all that. And they get, you know, and they take students from the school and the elders, the Orient old boys, do it on a regular, every annually, actually, they do it. So it is in the agenda, annual agenda, that either they go to Hilal, Brook Street, or any cemetery that they go and they show the students as well. And they continue, and the executive members of the Orient old boys, they do it themselves, cleaning, sweeping, and everything in the cemetery.
So the question on the screen here says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Palak, you're a blessed man, and thank brother Shafat Ahmad Khan for bringing you on the platform, the Markaz Sahaba. I want to know from you, Ahmad Bhai, which is the best Kabristan in this country, which is the best kept, and which community should be applauded? That's quite a good question there, Ahmad.
Shafat, there's two, in that question, there's twofold to that question. Number one is, our cemeteries, or our Kabristan, a lot of people say, don't say cemetery, say Kabristan. You know, you Muslim, we must say Kabristan. Our Kabristan is tip-top condition. Right, you get some, they haven't been using it, but it is our duty. We are duty-bound. Leave alone the burial society to get the people together. If you got any loved ones in any cemetery, you are duty-bound to make sure that you contribute towards that cemetery, number one, or the Kabristan, and also get involved with that burial society and the organization to clean that Kabristan with a few people. I mean, if you take on a Sunday, you take on 5, 6, 7 people around you, and in no time you clean that thing. And then you got all these, our foreign brothers and all, they very much interested in helping, and they will do it peaceabilillah. They will help us, they will clean up, and that's how you actually do it. The brother also commented that, you know, I'm a blessed man, now I have to give sadaqah because he said I'm a blessed man. No, Shafat,
I tell you, if you're a blessed man, you have to give us blessings, Ahmad. Why you don't bless us all? I mean, Allah has been good to you. You're a motivator. And, you know, Ahmad, you know, never ever saw you get angry. Every time I knew you, you know, we met each other, there was always a smile on your dial. And, you know, you never walked, when you walked away, you left people in always a good mood. You know, there's something, you are blessed, Ahmad. I'm telling you.
Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me. But, you know, I always tease anybody when they say anything good about me. They say, no, hold on, now I have to give sadaqah now because you spoke good about me. I'm worried now. You know, I always joke with them. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to do the work of the Shabbat. Allah chooses people. A lot of people want to get into my shoes. They want to do this, they want to do that. They come, and then eventually they fade like a soda water. They don't keep up with the momentum of doing the work and all. This work of Dafan Kafan, and Allah has chosen those brothers and sisters who come out all the hours of the night and come and do this type of workshop. And everybody can't just do it too. And they try. A lot of them, we told them, come join us. We want to bring new blood. As they say, we want to bring youngsters, they want to, you know, train. I'm willing to train anybody. In fact, with my new setup I'm putting here in Musgrave, we want to open a center eventually, start training the youth. That's the reason in Musgrave we formed a youth association or a club to teach all these guys, whoever want to do, in every field. We bring the right people to talk to them, groom them up, so they become leaders, because the legacy must carry on, Shafat. End of the day, we have now formed, the foundation is there. Now is to take it forward from here, Shafat. Shabbat, the very important one where our brother Imran Khan, who is an activist who fought for the country, he's got Pakistan at heart. We knew this was coming many, many months ago, that they were not going to leave him, because the amount of the support that he's got in Pakistan is unbelievable. So this was coming, but fortunately, he had put in a mechanism, he put in place a very stringent team that will be going on a march, a peaceful march, and you'll see thousands and thousands of people will go out on the street. And then, secondly, they didn't even bring a warrant of arrest where it is legal. You cannot just detain somebody without a proper court order or a warrant of arrest. I think his team will take this thing to the Supreme Court there and overturn this ruling. And then I think he will be out very, very shortly, because they can't afford him to keep him in jail, because there will be a massive war in Pakistan. This is just the beginning of what you just hear in Shabbat. The other aspect is an Indian couple wants to sold their child for an iPhone 8. This is, you know, I don't know what they want to do, Shabbat, just for an iPhone. I just can't understand, you know, somebody will sell a child just for an iPhone, just less than a couple of thousand rands if you take it in South African currency. It is sad. Then most importantly is our home front here back in Kerala. On the 3rd, that was Thursday, we marched, Action SA marched with all of the our delegates from all over the country. We marched and gave him a memorandum, giving him 30 days to put his act together. Otherwise, he's going to see the other side of Action SA. We will bring an order. We will bring an application. That's the reason why we did it on a 30-day basis, to put his act together. Then we will give the court, and then we can bring it on an urgent basis so that he will have to now put his act together, because the amount of murders that are taking place in the country is unbelievable. And Shabbat, yesterday, somebody was waiting for me at the office, and I went for Zohar Salat. When I came back, he was a young gentleman, and he wanted an affidavit. So I asked him, you waiting for me? He says, yes, my name is, I'm from Zimbabwe. My name is so-and-so, and I need an affidavit. I want a proof of residence. So I told him, brother, I cannot give you a proof of residence, number one. Bring me 3 of your utility bills, and then I will have a look at it, and I'll give it to you, because that alone will talk for itself. Then I don't have a problem. So he says, no, I don't have that. I'm living in I live in a flat in the beachfront. So I said, go to your landlord, get a letter that you're residing there, and for how long you're there and everything, so you can come to me. Then I start talking to me. He was an activist put here in South Africa. I didn't know that. And he gave me the whole rundown. He said, my brother, listen to me very carefully. We don't need South Africa. You see, Malema and the ANC, they are working together just for this election. And what they are doing to our brothers and sisters here, they're slaving our people here. What we are going to do, and before the election, you won't find none of your goods from South Africa coming to Zimbabwe, because we will close Zimbabwe border up completely. You won't be able to move around. You won't be able to move your trucks. You'll bring them to up to Weyburg, your South African border, the Weybridge, and that's it. You're not going to go any further, because we don't need you all anymore. Because unless you're in South Africa, and South Africa, he said, he's been a dictator to the rest of Africa. Everybody away, they're coming out of South Africa, because your constitution, you are blaming me, your foreigners are coming into the country, but check your constitution and how weak it is in terms of your immigration act, the law. This thing, when I came back, this thing puzzled me really, really. And I was like, Parashan, I said, this fella told me something is making sense here. Let me come home. I had something to eat. immediately I took out the constitution. And if you read the constitution, yes, our constitution is there's so much of gray area, so much of holes in that act. That's how these guys are getting away, and they go to high court, and you can't deport them or anything like that. So now I said to myself, you know what? This guy here, he's coming from Zimbabwe, and he's teaching us what to do here. So this is where our problem is. Same thing with Bekin Kele. He hasn't got a grip with our country in terms of justice, in terms of the policy. And he's not working with our justice system. The first most important thing, any minister of police has to have the intelligence. If you got a super, super good intelligence system in the country, you won't have all these problems like this. Because the intelligence tells you well in advance. Like taking Imran Khan's case. He knew a couple months ago they are going to this matter will come before court and the judgment will be against him. And immediately after the judgment, they're going to arrest him, which they did. So he must be have got top advisors by him there. Those advisors advise him exactly what's going to happen. Be ready. So he said, I'm ready, because he knew what's going to happen. So same thing we need in this country here. Previously, in the apartheid days and all, we had top in the intelligence in the country. They used to go overseas. They had underground people. They had laymen. They go to a function. If there's a massive gathering, they will send about 10 or 8 people of the in plain clothes and all. They get a proper invite. Even if they have to pay for the invite, they will pay a couple of thousand rand. They go into these rallies. They go into all these functions, and they go and listen, and they take notes. That is intelligence. And if you don't have a good intelligence, the minister of police can't do nothing, because the guys are coming here, killing them, and going away back. There's thousands and thousands of cases unresolved. We got in the bodies in the mortuaries at the moment, unclaimed bodies. Some of them are foreigners from Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Swaziland, from Africa. We can't do anything, because you can't. Firstly, we got a DNA issue. We got a backlog of the DNA issue in Pretoria. So that's why our mortuaries are getting full. Now the bodies are getting decayed. So they'll have to make a decision and bury those paupers' bodies, quick as possible. So this is the problem that we have. That's the reason, actually, I say when to his office, we gave him a memorandum on this thing, gave him 30 days to rectify. Other than that, we will take it up, like what we did in the Suraj matter in Durban municipality. We went there. It is in court now. So we're taking all these things in court, and then we will get our day in court. And then we're going to say we will get, once you get an order from, even if the High Court dismiss, we'll take you to Concord, and we will win it there, because in terms of what we are doing is 100% right, Shafat.
You know, but also thinking aloud, you know, what's happening in Cape Town or in the Western Cape is horrendous. I mean, the taxi strike, you know, you look at it both ways. People, about 300,000 people have been stranded. They say they can't go to school, they can't go to work. Some people have been walking for 50 kilometers back to work and forth, you know, pregnant women and so forth. And, you know, once again, but the taxi industry is a mafia unto itself. I mean, they were given warnings, you know, have your vehicles in order, make sure that the tires are good, that you have your number plates and so forth. But all this, they didn't, you know, they disobeyed the law. So what the law enforcement did, they impounded the vehicles. And these people brought the city to a standstill, disobeying the law. Even policemen were killed, or a policeman was killed last night. And, you know, police vehicles are set alight. How do we handle these issues? Even Bekin Kele, it seems like, you know, you can't talk to the taxis because, you know, it's our way or the highway. What's your thoughts, Ahmad?
Shafat, you're 100% right. In fact, I got a my son got a call that one of his friends' wife and his niece, they were going for a walima for this Sunday today, and they got into the crossfire with the taxi violence in Cape Town. They took them out. They took the cell phone. They took everything. And then it was a hired vehicle. Okay, they got the vehicle back. But the end of the story, Shafat, is they are traumatized. Then the family had to leave from here, also go and assist them there. And then somebody helped them there. So, you know, you get into the crossfire, you also get hurt. Fortunately, they didn't assault them or anything. But, you know, only two ladies in a vehicle, you know what it is? It's that, you know, the pain and the suffering that they went through in that crossfire is unbelievable. So you are 100% right when it comes to the taxi association in South Africa. Shafat, you see how they drive. They got no law and order in the road. They will stop anywhere they want. That's one. Secondly, they are not a fully controlled body in South Africa. That's why we're having all these issues, because they don't pay PAYE, they don't pay UIF, they don't pay nothing. For them, is because the government cannot do anything, because they are consuming the most amount of fuel in the country. If you take like all those taxis, there's many thousands of taxis in Cape Town. They went on strike for 3-4 days. It affected about 250,000 workers, which now they're not going to get paid. No work, no pay. That is one of the rules in our constitution, in the Labor Act and all that. So that is it. Then you have, if they haven't filled up for 2-3 days, all the power, garages will take a knock as well there. So it's the ripple effect that is going to have in Cape Town. And then they say Cape Town is the most cleanest city, most governable city in South Africa. We don't have this problem. We don't have this problem. There you are. They have problems. Every city has its own problems. Now, yeah, because of the law enforcement, they were driving vehicles without proper registration, no desk there. Some of them had to be, their tires were completely worn out. You have to have law and order, because end of the day, you're taking 16, 18 passengers. And if you are on a rainy day, and if you got oil on the road, if you hit a skid there, what happens to 16 people die? That's how you'll find so many, when they have a taxi accident, when there is a taxi accident, you'll find 18 people, 16 people die one time because they don't, the vehicle, it hasn't gone through the proper roadworthy to have that vehicle on the road. Now, when you start enforcing the law, they will do their thing. They will go on toy. They want to do everything. And that's it. They bring the entire city to a standstill. That is the clout the taxi industry has in this country. They can bring the entire city, can bring the government to the standstill, because they close all the roads up. There's no way you can move. That is the problem we have in South Africa, Shafat.
No, absolutely. Then coming back to beloved Itikweni, millions are spent irregularly on Itikweni billing system. What's this all about, Ahmed?
Shafat, before my time now, before 21, they started around 2020 or 2019, some bright spark thought about it. The billing system, that the machines and everything that we have, it is outdated. So they brought some international company to start putting the new system in place. When they put that system in place, that system never worked for us. Then we had to revert back to the old system. Now they're trying to modify the system that was brought from overseas to see how best they can put it together. And that is the reason you'll find most of our people this month, they haven't got their bill, number one. That is because our financial year ends on the 30th of June and it starts on the 1st of July. So the July statement is not out yet because of the same reason, that the system is not working right at the moment. They're putting it together. I don't know how much it's going to. It cost them millions of rand. If I'm not mistaken, it should be gone now to about a couple billion as well. They're still getting it right. So hopefully, a lot of people are phoning me. They haven't received the July statement yet. We want to pay. What is the story? So I said, this is the problem that we are faced at the moment. They're putting it together. Let's hope in the next week or something, or they'll have to still carry on with the old system, Shafat.
Yeah, I checked my email. I got the bill there. I'm there. I think they know this, so it must pay every month. Itikweni to provide incentives for dilapidated buildings. I mean, lots of dilapidated buildings in Durban, Ahmad.
There's plenty. Now, old buildings in Durban and surrounding, and if it's not privately owned, if it's privately owned, then the municipality is going to fine you to fix that building up, or they will then see how long you haven't paid rates. They will issue summons against you, get a judgment, and they will take it over. That's what they will do. The other buildings that is belong to the public works, that is belong now to the government. Now, if you want, a brother sent me a message during the week. He says, you know what? He saw a building that he wants to occupy that building. Very, very simple. He can go to the Department of Public Works, see which street that building is, get your neighbor's residential address, and they will then immediately pick it up in the system to say, yes, it belongs to the public works. It's got three floors, four floors, or whatever it is. It is in a very, very bad condition. I want to take this building. They will then tell you we can enter into between 10, 15, and 25 years. This, you take it over. You repair it yourself. You can occupy that building for yourself, and you'll be responsible for the light, water, and the rates. And also, it will be a very, very minimum rental base building for you, because you are going to spend all the money. That's how they work, Shabbat.
Yeah, some you know, if you got the money, you can make the money, and not anyone can do that, Ahmad. And, you know, looking at the other, you know, projects in the beachfront, we've been talking about this all the time. You know, the Point waterfront area and all that is supposed to be developed by large consortiums. What is really happening there, Ahmad?
Shafat, there was a Malaysian consortium, then there was a consortium from Dubai. These are all in the drawing board at the moment. There were technicalities between the partnership, the city, how it's going to work. Then there was a massive amount of money was put into a trust in South Africa, in Durban especially, for the Malaysian group. They were prepared to do it like the Cape, similar to the Cape waterfront. So they have started to a certain degree. They have put some things together. But it is taking so long. By the time we meet with our requirement in the city and in this country, you know, I think our grandchildren will only be able to see it, and that's it. Yes, but there is something is happening, because we have to step the mark, because end of the day, if you're not going to do it, no tourist is going to come to the city anymore, Shobhan.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the debacle of our rates should be put in a trust account, or it should be paid directly into, you know, to Itikweni and so forth, and have our complaints made. But you were very, you know, vociferous about it. And you have now said that pay your rates. Don't go the B route where you, you know, pulling away from rates, not paying your rates, and having your another trust account made and so forth. Maybe you like to emboss and make assurance doubly sure, and tell the listeners what to really do.
Shafat, you know, first and foremost, I was invited to a meeting with the Westville Ratepayers Association, with the chairperson of our Musgrave Ratepayers Association, Mohammed Kotwal. We went there, we had a meeting with the attorney as well as a junior counsel, and after he gave us the rundown exactly what they want to do, and they want to bring an application, and they want to go for the city. The very first question I asked him, number one, before we even do anything, it is only appropriate to get a legal opinion from a SILC. Now, when you go to a senior counsel, it's called a SILC. Now, if you get an opinion, and there's lots of top SILCs in our city here, especially in Durban. If you go to Advocate King, who's a fundi in things like this, Julian King, if you go to him, he'll give you an opinion. But you, for an opinion alone, you'll pay anything from 10 to 15,000 rands for that opinion, he will charge you. But you'll get a proper opinion. Now, my concern was, and I told him, there is a judgment already in the Constitution Court. That Constitution Court, the highest court in the country, has given the verdict. It is Lichtenberg versus Berg River Municipality. And the judge made it very, very clear in that judgment that if whoever wanted, they can go, if you see section 79 of that judgment, it'll spell it out for you. Even a layman can read that judgment and it'll tell you, you cannot hold the money of the municipality for any service. It makes it very, very clear, i.e. the rate, water, electricity, sewage, or anything, any money that is owing to the municipality, you cannot hold. Based on that, they still have now pursued to go to court. Now, they are saying they want to go in another angle in section 102 in terms of the Constitution. Yes, you can go there. There was another judgment, in fact, that I don't know if they have got it. I got it last night in the month of August, that was. It was in Joburg. There's another judgment too, similar to them. But they have to now read this judgment clearly. You cannot hold that money because, and this Westville Ratepayers Association, they say they're going to put that money in a trust. My question is, which trust are you going to put it? If you put it in a lawyer's trust, then your money is safe. Because if anything happens to the lawyer, the facility pays you out and all that. So you covered there. But if you put it in a ratepayers association and he forms a trust, he'll put the Westville Ratepayers Trust account, then we have a problem. Because, firstly, they're also saying they're going to deduct, they want to charge them for service rendered, the lawyer's fees. There will be whatever paperwork they're going to put in motion. All that is going to be, they're going to charge you. So when you're going to charge people, they're going to, where the money is going to come out from. They're going to take it from the trust. They will raise invoices and they will take from the trust. Now you have not paid your electricity or you haven't paid your rates. While this case is in court, if they brought an application, and you cannot bring it on an urgent matter. This matter can never come on an urgent basis. So the judge, if you bring it on the urgent basis, you're only going to lose your money because you'll throw it out of this thing. He says this matter is not urgent, which means it'll have to come through the normal court role. If it comes to the normal court role, like what we did, we brought an application for the city to fix all the sewage where your water, the sewer water is going into the sea and the river. We brought an application, which we submitted early part of this year. It is in court. We had two postponements already, but in the next one, we gave all the answering affidavits, everything has been done. So now it will go backwards and forward. Maybe it gets postponed one more time before they set a date. If they set a date, we'll only get date from my information, and I've been working with a lot of lawyers. They will tell you you'll get earliest, maybe toward the end of Jan, sometime in February. Now, that case will come through. It's the same thing. These guys only made the application now, and it's going to be heard on Wednesday or Thursday this week. So it will get postponed because the municipality is going to send his legal team there. It's going to ask for all these papers. By the time you go backwards and forward, it will be election will be over too. Then only they will be able to hear the case. In the meantime, the municipality will come and cut off your lights because you haven't paid. While this matter is pending in court, you can't hold while this matter is held in the court to give you relief. No, because the court cannot give you the relief unless they have heard the full entire case. Then only it can give you relief. Then they give you the judgment. So they are barking on a tree that, you know what, don't mislead the people. What I'm saying is don't mislead the people. Tell them the truth exactly. Which trust you putting the money in? It is the attorney's trust or your ratepayers association trust. That you need to make it very, very clear. Because end of the day, people want to put the money And they want to get, you know, if you're the working class people, they say, no, it is an opportunity for me. For a few months, I'm not going to pay, and I pay for the first month, I put it into the trust account. In the meantime, he's got, when they come and cut you, now because you did this, they will take their own time to come and reconnect you. Then what are you going to do? You want to have 3-4 days life because you have already put the money into the trust of the Westville Ratepayers Association. That's what they will do. And I know how they think and what they do.
Yes, Ahmad, absolutely brilliant there. We run out of time, but as usual, you were mashallah on your segment. Straight talk with Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, you have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.